Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast from International Rugby HQ, the studio here. I'm Tim with the usual squad of JB.
Hello, Tim. Hello, Egg Chasers.
Hello, and Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Whose beard is ever growing?
Yeah, still going.
Beard update?
I had a bit of a trim. I had my hair cut last week and asked the young lady if she could trim the wispy little hairs that were going into my mouth from my moustache.
Amazing stuff. Well, what a week of rugby we have got to talk about. Heineken Cup. However, let's get going. One of the big stories from the rugby week. And England Supremo Stuart Lancaster has said, and I quote, "Rugby union has a huge amount to learn from league. Sometimes we forget about core skills and they concentrate on the basics better than us." Now, just before we get into the things that we can learn from league, James Haskell said when he came back from the Super 15, he couldn't get over how much more work they do with the ball in the Southern Hemisphere versus here. My experience of semi-professional and sort of lower league rugby, it's all about the set piece. Is that what you guys found in your rugby careers?
I couldn't agree more. All we do is practice the same three lineouts for half an hour each Tuesday and Thursday, and then Friday. And then on a Saturday, maybe a further hour.
Certainly, from a forwards' point of view, rugby league core skills are very, very good. You'll see props and second rows, although they're not really like props and second rows as we know them, but making breaks and finishing breaks with well-executed passes. Whereas if you saw any, certainly Northern Hemisphere, prop or second row making a break, they very rarely know what to do with it. And God, maybe 1 in 10 actually gets finished off. So it's all about the set piece. Certainly scrummaging.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all seem to be in agreement on the fact that core skills we could probably learn a bit from the emphasis they put on that in rugby league. But what else? Stuart Lancaster doesn't have to stop there. What else can rugby league teach union then?
I think the most important thing it can teach a union is how to keep the score using a large mechanical arm. If anyone's seen the Super League, I think it's a requirement of getting the Super League franchise.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
You have to install a giant mechanical arm which is outside the stadium and intrudes on the inside of the stadium, which holds a scoreboard.
Yeah, it's an incredible piece of engineering to have one of those in every.
I've actually got a very good friend of mine who is an engineer, and he can't for the life of me work out how it works. But fair play, they do it time and time again, and that's why it's the greatest game in the world.
No expense spared.
What about something else that rugby league can learn, can teach rugby union, is really, really short shorts.
Yes.
I want professional rugby players, rugby union players, spend hour after hour in the gym working on those quads. Let's see them. Get those shorts right up so that they're practically underneath the shirt, a la rugby league.
Overcomplicated tournament formatting from rugby league.
Oh, yeah.
We saw the other week the Super League playoff system is the most complicated. I still don't understand it. But I was looking today, the Rugby League World Cup's about to start.
Oh, this is awesome.
Have you seen the group stages?
Yeah.
No, I've not.
Incredible.
There's four groups, two with four teams in and two with three teams in. And the groups with four team in, three of them qualify for the quarterfinals.
What?
The groups with three teams in, only one of them qualifies for the quarterfinal.
What?
Exactly. That's my thoughts exactly. Obviously the Super League playoff system makes no sense at all.
And with that, we move on then. And what a weekend of European rugby it was. There were upsets, there were tense matches, and there were those boring defeats by awful teams like Mogliano and Cavaliero Prato getting pumped by understrength English sides in the Amelin Challenge Cup. It's as you were for the European tournament. So what caught your eye?
Exeter all over. I thought they were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, they were superb. First half, they switched off a bit second half. But the strength and intensity at the breakdown absolutely blew Cardiff away with a pack who contained several Lions as well.
Several
full internationals.
I think there was 5 Lions playing and 12 internationals.
In the Cardiff team?
For Cardiff, yeah.
Wow.
Significantly fewer for Exeter, no doubt.
You've got a guy in this new lad, they've got Vianacolo. Have you seen him?
Yeah. From Connacht.
That's a guy.
Connacht and Tongan international.
Yeah. He's it's his first game, yeah. And he wouldn't have started if Tom James wasn't playing. Tom James is something like the 6th choice wing for Wales. And this Vianacolo is up against Cuthbert, who was the Lions wing, and completely outplayed him. They outplayed Cardiff in almost every position.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a little bit of a mention to Gloucester, who they're at King's Home, fair enough. You'd expect them to be competitive, but back on some sort of form and not a too shabby Perpignan team as well that they turned over.
Yeah, and good to come back as well. And they had a couple of opportunities. They had a disallowed try with 10 minutes to go for a forward pass that was a forward pass.
Well, not to blow my own trumpet, but I did say a few weeks ago that they might ignite. And
I think that was the phrase you used. And the big elephant in the room that we haven't mentioned is Scarlets.
Yeah.
A losing Scarlets team managed to turn over Quinns. What's going on at Quinns?
I'm not sure, but my favourite part of that game was looking at the little scorecard thing afterwards, and it said tries. Williams, Williams, Williams.
Yeah.
Not Williams, bracket 3. No, 3 different Williams.
Jordan, Rodri and Scott Williams.
That's all.
All scored tries. Jordan Williams' try was superb, where he bounced that one tackle, span round, down the touchline, stepped inside, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Mike Brown. I remember seeing him, I think, last year. My dad, because he's retired, spends virtually all of his time watching Sky Sports, BT Sports, whatever rugby's on TV. I went to my parents' house one day and he said, oh, you've got to see this try, I've recorded it for you. And it was Scott Williams scoring in the last minute for Wales under-20s against South Africa under-20s in the quarter-final or semi-final of the World Cup and scored an absolutely sensational try. All the commentators at the time were saying, watch out for this lad. And he's done it again on the next biggest stage, if not the biggest stage.
Well, the good news for Scarlets is all they need to do now is look down the sofa and find £300,000 to keep Jonathan Davis there. I mean, great news.
And a few of the other lads who perform well.
We'll be having those Williams boys as well, actually.
In that game, it's interesting that Harlequin seems to have gone off the boil this year a little bit compared to last year. David Flatman made a very good point last week saying that they've lost the cornerstone of their scrum. James Johnson, 22 stone.
Ollie Cone,
21 stone.
Yeah.
Replaced by two young lads who've got the potential to be good.
But Nick Kennedy, who's not even playing.
Yeah, Nick Kennedy, who's
Nick
on
Kennedy's
the
a quality player. He's not underrated.
He's not 21 stone, though.
No,
I agree
with
that.
He's lightweight for a second row. He's a good player. He's a decent pundit as well, if you've seen him.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, pretty solid.
I think his mum's an author. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
There you go.
The contrast between him and Shane Horgan, he's quite quite well-spoken and well-educated. I'm not saying that Horgan isn't, but
Horgan
the contrast was striking.
Horgan apparently is a big politics buff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the main things he enjoyed about the Lions tour when they went to New Zealand and got pumped was the fact that you could spend time with Alistair Campbell talking politics.
Wow. I would just say quickly, Nick Kennedy's old team, Toulon, irresistible. That first half performance against Glasgow.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to say, when I looked at Cardiff and I saw them get absolutely battered by Exeter, one of the things I thought is, big names don't make good teams. You've got 5 Lions here doing nothing. And then you've got Toulon, where big names make big teams.
Wow.
The contrast between actually having the players and then having the players and letting them win. Johnny Wilkinson, captain, and he's still starting fly half in a team which contains 2 of the best ball-playing players in Michalak
and
Gittel. It's just, they're just incredible.
Yeah, the handling, this goes back to the point we were making earlier about core skills and the handling of the forwards when one person was breaking the line, offloading. It's absolutely exceptional. No team could have lived with that first half performance.
Absolutely phenomenal. All right, well, let's go through our predictions from the weekend because we have the scoring system whereby if we go with the bookies' favourite and they win, we get 1 point. If we go with the underdog and they win, we get 2 points and we can play a joker for double points. So the first fixture, let's go Ulster-Leicester on Friday night. Ulster beat Leicester at Ravenhill, which I think I predicted, didn't I?
Me and you predicted Ulster.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes.
And JB predicted Leicester.
Oh, oh dear, Jay.
Dear.
Minus one and plus one for me and Phil.
These are the Friday night fixture.
Yep.
Connacht Saracens.
We all predicted a Sarri's win.
And Beardmore played his Joker.
That's right.
Double points.
So is that, know that
double one for two?
Yeah, 2 points.
That's right, double one is two.
And then on to Saturday.
Harlequin Scarlets.
Oh, I played my Joker on this, didn't I?
Unfortunately.
Oh, I played my Joker and predicted Quinns would win. I thought that was an absolute banker. So that's minus two.
And whereas me and Jay both predicted Harlequins, unsurprisingly, but got it wrong. Cast Northampton.
What, did we all go cast to
we
win?
All, yeah, we went with the bookies and all got it right. Okay.
Which leaves us with Exeter Cardiff.
Where we, again, all picked Exeter, who were favourites, so 1 point.
And Gloucester Perpignan.
Where you two correctly picked Gloucester and I took a chance and played my Joker on Perpignan. What a clown.
Oh, dear. Minus two, which leaves us with scores on the doors at the end of week one in the prediction challenge.
Cocker.
Yeah.
He's on three.
Hell yeah.
JB is on three. And bringing up the rear is me with one.
Not for the fair.
Just like he did in prison.
There's our predictions. I apologise for the lack of a Friday podcast last week. There were some teething technical issues, but which will be resolved and it will be released on Friday. So have a listen to our predictions for the weekend ahead. Before we move on from the rugby last weekend, any other business as far as the rugby goes?
Yeah, a couple of the high moments and a couple of low moments from the Heineken Cup and one from the Amlin Cup. Do you see Dion Berryman's try, the only try that Zebra?
We will get the pronunciation of that at some point.
Scored against Toulouse.
I didn't see this.
Where he was being chased into the corner and instead of
it's awesome,
going shoulder to shoulder with the defender, he threw his body out into touch, over the touchline, and stretched out and put the ball down. It looks spectacular if you can see that. And then a couple of bad things. Just last week, possibly, JB was saying how improved Luther Burrell is, how good his hands are.
Oh, yeah.
And then he throws an interception pass in the opposition 22.
Oh, dear,
Jay. Cheers, Luther,
to give the game to Cast. And the other one for me was the video reffing by Nigel Owens for two yellow cards. It was used for two yellow cards when it probably shouldn't have been. And the yellow cards were given, but I think they were both dodgy. Racing versus Clermont, and Nalaga, the winger, and one of the Georgian props,
Kikrias, really.
Yeah,
him.
You say it better than me, Cocker. Both got yellow cards for dubious at best.
The one thing I'm going to say is, I cast our minds back to, I think, 2007 or around then. Sale versus Biarritz. Two clubs who have fallen so far. It wasn't that long since they were playing a semi-final in San Sebastian for the Heineken Cup, and now they're playing a Thursday night just underneath the Bell End. Ridiculous.
The AJ Bell End, 3,100 people turned out to watch
that. Is that it?
3,100.
Did you see the highlight of it, though? Andrei Ostrakov's show and go.
One hand, running the ball. Yeah, kids, do not watch that as any kind of example of how to run with a rugby ball.
Yeah.
In one hand, Fijian style.
He looked like he wasn't sure what he was doing.
I put it down. there we go. That's the rugby from last weekend. I think we should have a little musical interlude before we move on. So we have been celebrating in Rugby Oki some of the rugby players that have treated us to their singing skills via YouTube, in the case of Ben Foden. Like X Factor, in the case of Matt Stevens. I could stay awake just to hear you breathe. Should we have a little bit of Alex Corbusiero rapping?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, come on.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, Tom is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it.
There you go.
Oh, let's get into that then.
We go to London Wasps. And this was via a tweet that Andy Goode, to his credit, posted.
Good lad, Goody.
Of someone that Phil mentioned as one to watch for the England squad, Elliot Daly, very talented outside centre come fullback.
Yep.
Who was in a boy band when he was at school. I think it was Whitgift School he was at, the same school Danny Cipriani went to.
Obviously.
And this is a video that's turned up on YouTube, and I will post the link at Rugby Podcast on Twitter and eggchasers.com that you can have a look at. This is Elliot Daly featuring with some of his boy band colleagues. The boy band was called Boys Forever.
Hey guys, we're Boys Forever. We're a group of young lads from Croydon. And singing is our passion.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Pete.
Here comes Elliot.
Hi, I'm Elliot Daly. If you want to know more, just Google.
Did we hear that? I'm Elliot Daly. If you want to know more, just Google me. Safe search on.
Absolutely not.
And this is them singing. Boy, this is Boys Forever.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of it, listening to the sound of my teeth. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous.
That's Elliot. Screams are because they've stripped off and they're now topless.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now, there you go. That's, I've got to say, when we first found a rugby player singing, I thought this is a well which is going to run dry pretty quick. This just keeps on coming.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. More rugby okey next time if you spot anything. Our thanks to Andy Good for uncovering that one. I have heard rumours. I've heard a rumour, but we don't have any evidence of it as yet, but that Carl Ferns of Bath Rugby does a brilliant Michael Bublé.
Wow.
So we need to try and get that. So Bath Rugby, if anyone from Bath Rugby is listening, try and record Carl Ferns doing Michael Bublé, and any more, let us know. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, where you can also see that video of Elliot Daly, and eggchasers.com. Right then, musical interlude over. Dream Team time. So the Dream Team is where we pick a random or harebrained topic and select a 15... 1 to 15 players that deserve that shirt. Now, this week, the topic is rugby players who don't look like rugby players.
Have you got a more concise name for that?
I
was trying to come up with one before, but I couldn't really.
Rugby players who don't look like rugby players.
This is what it is, OK? If you were in a bar and Andy Powell came in for a beer with PSB, there'd be no doubt that they were rugby players.
Yeah.
Right? That is a prototypical rugby player. What we're looking for is the guy who comes into the bar and you wouldn't believe he was a professional athlete, let alone a rugby player. That's what we're looking for here.
Due to excessive skinniness, maybe, or...
Yeah, skinniness in the forwards or excess weight in the back.
So let's start in the front row. Any suggestions?
No. Going on my... Oh, my criteria that if this guy walked into a pub, you wouldn't think that he was... I mean, you might think that he was a landlord, but you certainly wouldn't have thought that he is a rugby player.
An elite rugby player. Like
elite
an international
rugby player, yeah. Matt Dunning.
Yes, the Aussie loosehead prop.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, he's an absolute heifer, isn't he? He's carrying some extra pounds. I've just Googled him.
Is that the picture of him carrying fries and a burger? Yeah, it's a good one, that, isn't it? Have you never seen that?
I haven't seen that.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
Oh, definitely. He's straight in the 15.
Another one in the same mould, Jacobson, the Scottish loosehead.
Alan Jacobson.
Alan Jacobson, yeah, who's horrendously out of shape.
Ivan Lewis Roberts as well.
He's on the other side of my scrum.
Oh, he's got him, the other side of you.
Him, and he's hanging out with Martin Madden.
Oh, God, I've forgotten about
How
him.
How do you forget about Martin Madden? In fact, Matt Dunning and Martin Madden, I think it's unkind to Avion. He looks a little bit like a prop, at least. Any hookers?
Well, I've got a weird prop and hooker combination.
Mm.
Northampton, about 5-6 years ago, loosehead prop Chris Budgeon, hooker Steve Thompson.
Oh, brilliant.
That was a prop and a hooker, but it looked like a hooker and a prop because Budgeon was, what, 5'8"? Steve Thompson was very tall.
6'3".
Well,
like 19 stone.
I wonder if Steve Thompson ever played in a front row with Tom Smith and Chris Budgeon. That would be exceptional.
Well, you've got 2 5'8" props. And
yeah,
a
6'2" hooker.
Matt Dunning, Martin Madden, I wouldn't disagree with. Alan Jacobson, notable mention. Ivan Lewis Roberts, notable mention.
Jamie George should be a noticeable mention. He's got little T-Rex arms on that big big head and big belly.
Brilliant at bench press.
Oh, I bet he's incredible.
And who are we going for hooker then?
Zarzewski, just because he's
not look like a hooker.
And does not look like he's had 15 years of professional sport.
Yeah. Oh, no, he doesn't. Into the second row.
One of the greatest players of all time, maybe. John Eales never looked like a rugby player.
Put Luke Charteris in the same way. He doesn't look like he should be able to be a professional sportsman.
Well, he could play in the NBA.
Yeah, true. And maybe the other end of the sort of second row stock, I had Craig Quinnell.
Ah,
when you see some pictures of him in the lineup, there's some proper old love handles going on that.
Well, and the other Quinnell I put in there, Scott. I've added Scott in not because he doesn't look like a rugby player. It's because when you watch him, he looks like a bear. I watched some highlights of Scott Quinnell, and it is like watching a grizzly carrying a ball. Phenomenal. Not very quick.
Yeah. I think instead of the number 8 shirt, I'm going to challenge Scott Quinnell for the number 8 shirt with Thomas Waldrum.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yeah, I that's a fair shot.
I mean, because actually, he's probably solid. He is absolutely solid. It's just the chins.
He
doesn't look dynamic, but he is.
You want to see the weirdest looking guy with his shirt off? Phil Waugh. Has there ever been a stranger looking?
Oh wow,
looking rugby player ever?
I'd say out of seven, Stefan Armitage. I don't know. That's a tough call. Phil Waugh, Stefan Armitage. Is it?
I've not seen Waugh with his shirt off.
Well, David Lyons. Tell us about it. Right. It's got a promotional picture of him in a Stade Français shirt. And it just looks like a guy down... Do you know when middle-aged men wear rugby shirts to go and watch, you know, go watch the internationals down the pub? He looks like just a middle-aged man who happens to support Stade Français.
Tell us a bit more about Phil Waugh, who's top off.
Oh.
Well, who would get the 7 shirt for you then, Phil? Stefan Armitage, who I say like light bends around him, but even at the speed of light, it still takes 3 seconds to get all the way around. Or Phil Waugh, who obviously is a strange-looking specimen.
Imagine you're in a pub.
One of these guys is an international open-side flanker.
Phil Waugh looks like a fat, washed-up surfer dude. So he's got to. He's got to get the team.
Thomas Waldrum gets the 8 shirt. Waldrum. Good player that he is. He just looks.
I'd go for David Lyons on the other side.
On 6, lovely. Scrum half then.
Sean Perry. I was thinking Sean Perry.
Fat, bald.
I don't know about fat. Was he fat?
He was. A little bit chunky. But he wasn't Ricky KFC January.
I had chicken piri piri weepu.
Yeah.
Very good. I've got a weepu here. Ricky January I came up with because we went to watch the Lions and the coverage of rugby over there is, you know, front page to back page. And there was something about Ricky January catching a ball and the journalist had to apologise because he came out with the quotes. If that was a KFC bucket, Ricky January wouldn't have just caught it, but he would have swallowed it.
So who gets the 9 shirt then? Is it Ricky January or is it...
Piri Whippu is a truly immense weight gainer.
Yeah, the weight gain is it. Incredible. After
what did
the World
he manage
Cup.
To do? World Cup, took a couple of months off.
Yeah, and came back to training for the Blues, like 15 kg, over, like 2.5-3 stone overweight.
His nickname is Ricky KFC January.
Yeah, let's go for
Ricky January is in. Fly half then. I've got so many that I can think of.
Oh,
I
really?
Can't pick one, yeah. Well, Andy Food.
Andy Good. I think he's redefined what fly halves look like, so I don't think that counts.
Well, everyone's... trying to get receding hairline
exactly.
And gain weight so they can play as well as Good.
But then someone who just doesn't look like he should ever be anywhere near a rugby pitch, looks like he should be like programming computers and hacking into the government mainframe, Neil Jenkins.
Oh.
You're not a rugby player, Neil.
Yeah.
But what a player.
Some of his play might have even backed that up.
Two Irish fly halves, O'Gara and Sexton. Sexton's shoulders are... but practically non-existent. I don't think he knows what the gym looks like. But
the Cobain genus. Sexton has got pathetic shoulders, actually.
He's terrible.
Who gets the 10 shirts? So many names.
Ronan O'Gara doesn't get 10 shirts. Ronan O'Gara, a little pretty boy. In fact, in some ways, he's a classic 10. I happened to introduce myself to an unsuspecting Andrew Mertens, and I can tell you now, he looks nothing like a rugby player. I introduced myself to Danny Grucock, who looks like a monster, and it's everything you'd expect from a rugby player, and then Andrew Mertens, who was tiny.
Wait. Hold on, stop there, JB. You just did some absolutely shocking name dropping. So what do we have there? Andrew Mertens and Danny Grucock.
That's right.
There we go. Who do we give the 10 shirt then to? Come on!
I'd go for Andy Good.
I'd go for Andy Good.
Yeah, okay, Andy Good.
Centre, Matthew Bastereau.
Oh, well done.
I mean, what a player, but he just doesn't look like he should be a, a sort of top-flight centre.
More like a prop mould.
Yeah, exactly.
Other end of the scale, and has got to be the smallest, lightest England centre in the last 20 years, Kyle Eastmond, who's both smaller and lighter than Shane Williams and has played 12 for England.
He?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe Matthew Tate in that in his debut international.
When he was 18.
He looks least like a rugby
Go
player.
Go on, son. Go have fun.
Not, munch.
Not really filled out to his potential at 18.
I'm open.
I saw Kyle Eastmond. I was stood behind him in the queue for River Island in the Trafford Centre. He was up. He was up. He wasn't playing for Bath, and he had a weekend off, and he's back in Manchester. And I was behind him in the queue.
It's St Helens, isn't it?
Yeah, St Helens, and he's quite stacked.
Yeah,
but very, very small.
Yeah,
very small. Really athletic.
If he showed up in like a pub wearing the kind of tops that Phil wears, you would definitely think, yeah, he's a professional sportsman.
Like smart work.
But I know what you mean. He's kind
of top.
No, one of those tight, long V-neck things. Whatever, Phil.
Just because he's too damn good-looking to be a rugby player.
Me?
You might want to get the music ready. JJ Engelbrecht. I thought he was good-looking, and then I Googled him. Bloody hell. He could be a male model. He could be international, like David Gandhi type.
How do you know names of male models? David Gandhi. I'm going to look at David Gundy first. And I tell you, could David Gundy be a rugby player?
He could be a JJ Engelbrecht lookalike. Look at David Gundy.
My word, look at David Gundy. Can he play rugby? Yeah, he probably can play rugby. Yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah, he could be an outside centre. Now JJ Engelbrecht.
Is that because you play outside centre? is this what's going on here?
Just for looking far too pretty to be a top-flight rugby player, then JJ Engelbrecht gets into the centre. Back three. Let's get rid of that music then and just get things back on rugby.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Not your own
sordid... It's got really weird in here.
Sordid pastimes.
Oh, crikey, yeah. You're right about Engel, whatever his face is.
Yeah, smoking.
What about Shane Williams as a winger?
Yeah.
Really over-delivered on what he should be able to do when you look at someone like... And I'd actually say yourself, Phil, are kind of in a similar mould.
Yeah. Not quite as
not quite as slight as Shane Williams, but like,
not quite as good. Well, no, obviously not.
Well, yeah, I think that went without saying, didn't it? But how do you find it, like as a winger, like small in stature? Because power is speed times by strength.
It forces mass times acceleration.
Yeah.
So yeah, as long as you can accelerate quickly, you can deliver that power. I've often found it to my benefit because I'm reasonably solid at tackling, and you'll often get people who will initially try and run straight at me rather than round me, which kind of works out well. Yeah, which kind of works out well for me a lot of the time. But like at the standard I play, I don't think it matters too much.
You still get some big old bruises running your way. So any other back three suggestions?
Well, I mean, I would have mentioned, is it Rapeni Faufau?
Yeah, he's on my list.
Oh, yes.
When he was at peak weight, when he went to Toulouse.
So we've got Rapeni Faufau on one wing. Is there another contender?
Ben Smith. New Zealand winger. I think he top scored in the rugby championship. Was absolutely superb, but looks like an accountant or librarian.
Let's do it.
Does not look like a New Zealand winger.
I've got a shout for fullback.
Yeah.
If we go Ben Smith, Rapeni Faufau, Scottish international. He was capped many times. And I think when he played, and I'll show you a picture in a minute, he looks like a 45-year-old man turning out for a charity game for the local club side vets. Have a look at Brendan Laney.
Oh! The Celtic Kiwi, the original one.
Yeah, look at him there in his Scottish outfit. That does not look like an elite athlete at the top.
The only way to look worse at rugby when you're doing something bad is to dress yourself up in a Scottish kit. That's only... If that was an All Black kit, you think, God, he's dynamic.
Is there anything to top Brendan Laney?
I'll go with yours, Cocker.
Right then, so Dream Team done. Alan, it will be up at Rugby Podcast on Twitter and eggchasers.com. Right, another story from the week that caught my eye was Martin Johnson, whose driving career has now gone the way of his coaching career. It's over for the time being. Jono was banned from driving after being caught speeding at 107 miles per hour. So if I could take the powers that, you know, East Midlands police had to issue bans, and you could ban something from rugby, what ban would you impose?
A ban on referees getting stupid yellow cards for things that aren't yellow cards, like pulling hair, not high tackles, tackles which are perfectly fine and getting yellow carded, stupid yellow cards.
There was one this weekend that I mentioned before. Well, the Clermont Racing, the Racing prop got a yellow card for scratching one of the Clermont players.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. And that was based on a video ref as well.
So here's the thing, right? As soon as you hear the words, it's a letter of the law. That's when you know the sport is going wrong. Yeah. Oh, it's a letter of law. You can't you hear it in football all the time. You can't raise your hands. You raise your hands, you got to go.
What is that rule in football? You can't raise your hands.
Apparently not.
So you've got to you touch a player's face, like you stroke him on the chin, and red card.
Yeah,
we can't go that way.
To make sure we don't, referees should be targeted by an elven archer, and as soon as they give out a spurious yellow card.
But I had a couple of referees on my list to ban.
Yes, please.
Wayne Barnes and Romain Poix after some recent...
Wayne Barnes went on an 80-minute mission, didn't he, against
Argentina.
Against Argentina, to change the game as we know it.
Yeah.
Australia-Argentina.
It was quite incredible. Yeah. I have no idea what was going through. He was on hallucinogenics or something.
A personal one from me. JB might disagree with this. I'd personally ban long hair on players. I think it looks terrible.
It can stay provided you're allowed to pull it.
Well, what? because I know you love Jacques Berger.
Yes.
I was going to propose a compromise that each team, much like their marquee player, their excluded player from the salary cap, they can have one player excluded from the long hair ban.
Yes.
Clever.
So, but it would create some interesting questions, raise some interesting questions. Like the Ospreys this weekend, their entire front row, the two Joneses and Hibbard, had long hair. So it's either you get rid of two of those players or you make them cut their trademark locks.
Adam Jones pulls rank, sir.
Yeah.
I agree with that. There was an Argentine football coach who banned players playing for him who had long hair.
Good lad.
In Argentina, that's a big thing as well.
Oh yeah, true.
Hashtag lad. I would go long. We've mentioned it before. Long cycling shorts. Gloucester, your back line are all banned from playing until you wear.
Yeah.
You can wear. I understand it feels nice and comfy and tight, and everything's held in place with a pair of sporty lycra undergarments, but not the ones that go down to your knees.
Yeah, unnecessary.
Well, I mean, who are you to determine what the Gloucester backs need to hold their junk in place?
I'd be surprised if any of them need. Well, maybe they need one that goes right down to their knees.
Another item of clothing I'd ban is mittens.
Andy Goode is getting some stick on this podcast.
Andy Goode.
He plays in gloves, not mittens. Mittens cover you. I would definitely ban mittens.
Mitted or gloves, whatever they are.
Fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Andy
Goode and Brock James.
Yeah.
Still wear them.
I had a pair of silver mitts. And silver boots. I got for Christmas. Ugh. Playing on the wing.
There's a case in
Colwyn
point.
Bay.
Right, so that's what we were banned. If you have any more suggestions yourself, of course, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Now, I've just got to say hello and thank you to Ryan Hurley, who on Twitter got in touch.
Yep.
And has created an Egg Chasers jingle.
Egg Chasers, Egg Chasers.
Ah. Real rugby chat, straight from the clubhouse.
Got a kind of sort of Billy Bragg folk kind of
and
vibe.
And I love
going on with
Billy
that.
Bragg.
Doggy Bee.
Oh, that's his next song.
Would you say that is kind of a tiny bit below Matt Stevens, but a long way ahead of Elliot Daly?
Oh, a million.
It's much further
light
ahead
years
than
ahead. So thank you, Ryan Harley. We very much appreciate it. One final challenge we have for you today, and we're going to do this, is we're going to rank by position the starters for Premiership clubs. So we're going to start with the fly half position today. So what we're going to do is create a league table of starting fly halves in the Premiership. So we've got not the 12 teams, we've got the 12 players who are the main or first choice in the 10 jerseys. So let me just run through the names before we get into our own league table. There is Owen Farrell, Toby Flood, Freddie Burns, Stephen Myler, Gareth Steenson, Andy Goode, Danny Cipriani, Ian Humphries, Phil Godman, Nick Evans, George Ford and Ignacio Mires.
Okay.
What I think we've got to be really mindful of is we don't just pick a player who sat behind like a chariot of a pack, just sat with, you know, we've got to try and look at the skills and what they bring to the team and whether they punch above their weight and all the rest of it.
So that clearly immediately excludes Toby Flood.
No, I disagree because he adds a lot to the game.
Okay.
He doesn't just sit behind a big pack, but distribute and kick corners.
But you think then that if Toby Flood was injured, that George Ford, when he was there, would have done a much worse job?
I wouldn't say much worse, but look at Ryan Lamb when he's played instead of Toby Flood. Leicester aren't the same team.
George Ford had to leave Leicester in order to get first team rugby.
Yeah, and he's a lot of people see him as the potential future of England fly halves.
That is true, but is that not to do with his dad? And also, is that not... and furthermore, you know, he's guaranteed to be playing there. There's no one looking over his shoulder. If he's had a bad game, he's not going to be yanked. It makes more sense to be the top dog in Bath than competing in Leicester.
To further his ambitions, a year and a half, nearly 2 years before a World Cup.
Yeah, he's got to be getting game time, so that makes sense. But you could argue that if he's going to be the best fly half in England, he'd be able to beat Toby Flood on merit.
Probably, but what would be the point?
What do you mean?
What would be the point? What would be the point in going through the rigmarole of competing with Flood week in, week out?
George Ford could have stayed, and he could have tried to oust Toby Flood from the team. But I would argue, like, the right thing for England, the right thing for George Ford, that he did go. Because currently, right now, as George Ford is a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, and Toby Flood is a seasoned international, Toby Flood's better.
Yeah, agreed.
Toby Flood's not in my top three. It'll be interesting to see when the England team is picked for the internationals, which way Lancaster goes. Do you think that Farrell is the incumbent for the centre?
I'd say so.
Yeah, I think so. Didn't he started most of the
and then by definition probably the best 10?
No,
because in my mind he's not even the best 10 in Saracens.
Arguably not.
Charlie Hodgson's a better 10.
It depends if you look at the all-round game, because Hodgson's got some weak points.
Hodgson can't tackle.
If you had possession for 100% of the time, I would pick Charlie Hodgson in my team over Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
But he's like a gate for opposition to walk through, unfortunately.
His kicking, particularly at the highest level and when the pressure's on, was wayward. Owen Farrell was nominated for the IRB Player of the Year. Is outstanding.
Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm hearing
his distribution is not as good as Hodgson, definitely.
Right, well, let's try and be positive and put some people into our top four then. So
we'll
do it like the league, where we have a top four and then we'll decide between our winner. I mean, Nick Evans has got to go top four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, although arguably he's, obviously as mentioned before, Harlequins aren't looking as good this season. Evans is ageing and potentially falling out, potentially slipping down.
Do you get the feeling watching them that they're grooming Ben Botica for when he leaves?
Yeah.
I think there's kind of a shifting in power there, because Botica looks like a decent player and they give him a lot of game time.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's a good point, going back to the Flood Ford thing, that you've got a young 10 learning from an experienced season international, like managing the two within the squads, whereas that wasn't happening at Leicester because they rated Flood higher.
Put Toby Flood in the top four.
Yeah, I would as well.
Okay. Is there any player better on his day, when everything's going well, which I know is a big shout, because you say that about anyone, Danny Cipriani does pull out some absolute gems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No denying that.
Agreed.
Match winner.
Would you have him for your full season, full premiership season, 22 games?
I wouldn't even have him on my bench.
Right, OK.
But
not in your squad?
No, not.
Right.
No chance.
I don't think he makes the top four, but he can be mercurial.
Although I think I'd change my mind if after this season he's put in a full season, he's done very, very well.
And if he has changed his recreational habits to swerve Malibu and pineapple juice and Nesquik when he has TV reporters round to his house, if he does serve up a Nesquik,
God,
like he did on that BBC documentary with Gabby Logan.
The most horrendously dull interview you've ever seen.
Oh, it's horrible. It was like Inside Sport. Gabby Logan went round to Danny Cipriani's house and he made a chocolate Nesquik.
It was so boring.
Yeah, mercurial on his day. You can't put him anywhere near the top four because much like a premiership, a team that's good on their day isn't going to win the premiership.
Yeah, agreed. Who would be in your top four then?
Well, are we all kind of agreed, even by a majority decision, that Toby Flood goes in, indicator JB? Nick Evans, Toby Flood,
Nick
straight
Evans.
In then.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, personally, on the strength of the summer and the temperament in big games, I'd put Owen Farrell in my top four.
I would do as well. Two of us agree on three. I think, Jay, do you agree with any of those? Evans?
Evans, definitely.
Yeah.
Farrell, well, I don't agree with Farrell because I don't think he's a starter. I think the Hodgson is, so Hodgson.
All right, so we've got top three kind of sorted for now. Well, let's just jump to the other end of the table then. Who would be And again, with the greatest respect to them, who would be the relegation candidates?
Phil Godman.
Phil Godman?
Ooh, yeah. Poor old Phil.
Jay's not going to like this, but Ignacio Mirez.
Oh, I don't like this, Phil. How dare you?
Jay's man crush down there near the relegation zone. Relegation candidates, then we seem to be settling on Ian Humphries, Phil Godman, Ignacio Mirez. Who goes down?
Godman.
Godman.
Godman. Sorry.
Poor Godman.
Sorry, Phil. I mean, your quality. You're in the Premiership. Well done. Yeah. And top four, then. Are we settled on Farrell, Flood, Steenson sneaking in there, along with Nick Evans, who is the champion?
Yeah, I'm happy with Steenson. Give him some deserved recognition.
Yeah, I think Steenson.
And the top one, probably still Nick Evans.
So there we go. We anoint you Nick Evans, champion of our Fly Half League table, and Phil Godman. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're down.
Hodgson second.
Right then, that is it for episode 6 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Get involved in the debate and give us your thoughts at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Till next time. I think we should be sung out by, what do you reckon, Elliot Daly, Elliot. And his boy band Boys Forever.
Oh, go on then.
Hey guys, we're Boys Forever. We're a group of young lads from Croydon. We're every now and then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.